Good morning. Welcome to this morning's panel on carbon markets. My name is Joanna Brickman. I'm the Director of Sustainable Design for ZGF Architects, architecture, interiors, and urban design firm based in Portland with offices in Seattle and other cities in North America as well. My interest in carbon really started with our own research into offsetting our impact as a firm, which really opened up a bit of a can of worms, and a very interesting can of worms, as it turns out. And so I've been really interested in learning more, and I'm continuing to sort of push my understanding of the carbon market. So that's how I've gotten to come in contact with these panelists today. Our intent of our panel today is to really give shape to a market that's nebulous for many of us, but will impact our work for some time to come. You know, the theme of this conference being sort of going from living buildings to living communities, I think it's appropriate to talk about greenhouse gas emissions because it's something that we're really addressing at the building level and addressing at the community level, but they're seldom in tandem. And I think there's some opportunities to try to work together at different sort of scales of the system. Our first presenter is Dr. Bill Jones, who's a consultant and analyst with EcoSecurities Limited, which is a UK-based company with offices in Portland that sources, develops, and trades carbon emissions reduction credits. Bill has a master's in urban planning from the University of Oregon and a PhD in economics and planning from Columbia. Bill comes to EcoSecurities with a background in the development of federal environmental policy, climate change policy analysis, and consultation to municipalities and businesses around greenhouse gas emissions reductions and management. Bill now directs EcoSecurities U.S. Consulting Services, and he's here to talk with us about carbon issues in the built environment through policies and regulations, footprinting, scoping of that footprinting process, helping us to understand the complexities of the ownership of carbon burden and how to reduce that burden, ultimately. Our second presenter is Joseph Pallant, who's the president of the Vancouver-based company Carbon Project Solutions. He's a bachelor's in biology and environmental studies from the University of Victoria and has graduate degrees in business and Latin American management. Joseph founded CPS in 2006 to help those that are creating climate benefit monetize that so that they can continue to create those projects. He's really working on the offset development side, primarily focused on forestry and land-based credits, so he's going to be talking to us about those kinds of projects and the ecological benefits beyond carbon. So he's going to be talking about carbon issues in the natural environment, talking about some of the standards that are used in measuring those and giving a case study of a forest restoration project he's been working on. So then following the presenters, we'll have a breakout discussion, one really focusing on the carbon cycle in the built environment, one focusing on the carbon cycle in the natural environment, sort of how to marry the two as we're doing work. So all over North America, local and regional governments are stepping up to fill the void of federal action on climate change. Manitoba and British Columbia both joined seven U.S. states in the Western Climate Initiative and are further supported by 157 municipalities in Canada, 831 municipalities in the United States that have dedicated themselves to drastic reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. And all of this in the absence of a regulatory framework, which is why many call the voluntary carbon market the Wild West. Also referred to as the PR market in some cases. You know, the voluntary market is getting a lot of use by companies that are trying to mitigate the negative edge of their product. You know, a story, kind of funny one, one of our partners who's really into cars went to an auto show recently and came across the Land Rover exhibit where they were talking about the fact that Land Rovers are carbon neutral. What they're doing is offsetting 50,000 miles worth of emissions from these vehicles, so you're not really looking at the whole life cycle of the vehicle in any way. But without getting into detail about the legitimacy of the particular offsets that they purchased, it's important to recognize that there's a certain level of public distrust of carbon offsets. Cheapneutral.com, I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but It parodies the idea of carbon offsets by offering cheat offsetting for people who are unfaithful in their personal relationships. Quote, neutralizing pain and unhappy emotion, leaving you with a clear conscience. Funny, yes. Cynical, yes. But it tells of the pitfalls of being without regulation or framework in this market. Enough concern exists about this that the U.S. Federal Trade Commission has launched an investigation into the carbon markets. And, you know, they're usually in the business of protecting consumers around more concrete product claims. But they're taking this on in order to ensure that consumers are getting what they're paying for. As our presenters will get into, to a certain degree, you know, there are a lot of different organizations out there developing standards to try to help ensure offset credibility. And there it is possible to buy credible offsets now. And some of those standards range from just ensuring that a ton is a ton is a ton, all the way to this ton of carbon offset that you're purchasing also comes along with certain environmental and social benefits. And so it's a pretty broad range, actually. And it's no wonder why the FTC is taking this step now. I mean, one of the sort of conference theme words is urgency, right? The rest of the world is watching the U.S. You know, the European Union has recently threatened suit of both China and the U.S. over our emissions as one of the world's top two polluters. The U.S. government is going to need some serious PR and rebranding of their own, right? So many of us are familiar with renewable energy certificates through their inclusion in the LEED program. You know, emissions reductions may result from renewable energy certificates, but that's not exactly how they're measured, and that's not the way that program is built. It's really representing the premium of investing in renewable power production. Offsets, on the other hand, are measured in metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, so any greenhouse gas made into an equivalent of carbon dioxide. And as this will be discussed later, these offsets can come from any one of a variety of different types of projects, you know, efficiency projects, renewable power, sequestration, destruction. So that, we'll get into more of this, but how many of you guys have heard about white tags? Handful. They're still relatively new on the market, and white tags are similar to renewable energy certificates in that each one represents, you know, a megawatt of, in this case, efficiency, not renewable power. And they're already in use. Some European Union countries are using this as a means to getting their carbon emission reduction, Italy, France, and the United Kingdom. And there are a few U.S. states that have mandated the use of white tags to get to their renewable portfolio standard by the purchase of white tags. And as with any new product, there's still some issues. It does show some promise for the building industry. You know, we're all looking for new and creative ways to finance our renewable energy products or our efficiency projects. But currently, the proposed metrics vary widely, as you can see, from prescriptive to metered after actual construction, modeled in anticipation, and then just using the LEED rating system as a means for verifying it, which seems very dangerous to me, full of holes, right? You know, we're all doing LEED buildings, and we know that they're better than business as usual, and in some cases, but using that to as a means of verifying something that's supposed to be as hard as an offset, that's scary a little bit to me. The other question around that is, you know, in a net zero building like what we're trying to get to, can you really sell your reductions? And there's some issues around that. So the question in my mind is, as we move towards these net zero buildings, how will regulatory winds shape our actions and our story, you know, as Jason talked about, our story about our building's performance, our cause and effect relationships, ownership, responsibility? It's pretty complex. So, again, we're going to start with Bill, who's going to talk to us about carbon in the built environment.
Thank you.
Yeah.